Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we continue in that Advent series of sermons that I talked about last week about things we can actually do to prepare for Advent, to prepare for Christmas, for Christ's coming. Last week I talked about worshiping fully, and we heard things that we could do to do that. One of those things that was suggested was to light a candle and allow that candle to burn brightly in your home to remind you that God is present with you every day. We talked about writing things down, things that we can be thankful for, things when we perceive that God is in our lives, things that happened to us in the past where we can see that God's fingerprints are clearly there on our lives. And we suggested that you put those things in a jar, and at some point during the week, you take those things out and share those with your family. And we encouraged you to get into the habit of recognizing that God is in fact part of your life, not only at Christmas and at Advent, but also throughout the year. And as I worked on that list for myself this week, I realized that what a great list of things that you can give thanks to God for that might make. I started last week, too, by saying that the world was kind of heading in the wrong direction, and it was my very serious concern that we not follow along with it in a subtle fashion. And I think that is still true. We must guard against that. This week, the discussion is on spending less. I was getting a haircut Friday morning, and my barber, who knows that I am the shepherd of this congregation, said, "Well, what's your sermon going to be about?" I hadn't written it yet, but I remembered that it was about giving, or about spending less. And I added, "Giving more." And his immediate response was, "Oh, I hate those kinds of sermons." And I think, based on your reaction, you are thinking the same thing that he was thinking. I said, "Why? What's so bad about that?" And he said, "Well, we used to go to a church that was having financial problems, and they were always complaining about needing more money." He had jumped to that conclusion based on his experience. About that time, his associate barber came in, and that interrupted our conversation. His associate barber is not the most outgoing and smiley sort of fellow, and he mumbled something that was unintelligible as he walked in and our conversation ended. Feeling uncomfortable with that, I sent an email to Bob later in the day, and this is what I wrote. "We didn't get a chance to finish our conversation today about my sermon for Sunday. Advent is a time of preparation for Jesus coming at Christmas. As I prepare my congregation for that blessed event, I'm doing a series of sermons on things that they can actually do in preparation. Last week we heard about worshiping fully, and I listed things that they could do to make God part of their life every day. For example, lighting a candle to remind them that God is present in their home with them. This Sunday I will address spending less. Quick, tell me what gifts you received last Christmas. If you're like most people, you won't remember. So rather than buying something people won't remember anyway, spend a little bit less and use the money saved to help make a difference in somebody else's life. For example, you could donate to Heifer International. You could give money to a local homeless shelter. But somehow use that money that you save to make someone else's life better, make it more comfortable, to make it easier. Because in so doing, you are obeying Jesus' command to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and care for the sick." So you see, Bob, the sermon that I'm going to give won't be about giving money to the church, but it will be about spending less on yourselves and not buying those things that people won't remember anyway, but rather making someone else's life better and easier. And I signed it my typical piece L-O. So I have two challenging questions for you today. Who can tell me what Christmas presents they received last year? Quick, what were they? What was the favorite thing that you got? My guess is you probably don't remember. The second question is, what did you give to somebody else that made a difference in their lives? I'll let you think about that for a second. Some more challenging questions. How do you choose what you're going to give to people this year for Christmas? Do you set up a budget and say, I'm going to spend $500 or $1,000 or some number that works for you? Or do you just go out and buy what you see and hope you can pay for it later because, well, after all, this is Christmas and we want to impress people and buy something really nice for them? Do you prayerfully consider what you're going to give people? Do you plan to spend equally on everyone, or do you spend just whatever you find that seems to be right for them? Now here's another challenging question for you. Have you considered giving a gift to people that you don't know that somehow will make a difference in their lives? We're not talking about giving to the church here. We're talking about doing something that will make somebody else's life better and more comfortable for them. Advent, as we keep saying, is a time of preparation, and that's one way that you can prepare by helping someone else in their life to make their life better and easier. If you were going to have a birthday party for someone, you would make some preparations. And I'm not an expert in that field, so I consulted the greatest social advisor on social events, and that would be Martha Stewart. I went to her webpage, and there was a list. Do these things. 6 weeks before, she suggests that you choose the theme for the birthday party and a guest list. 4 weeks before, she says, write out the invitations and choose games that you will play and food that you will serve. 3 weeks before, she says, mail the invitations and purchase the gifts and start some home decorations in anticipation of that party. 2 weeks before, you should purchase supplies and call guests who have not responded to your invitation. 3 days before the party, you should buy the food. 2 days before the party, you should bake the cake and finish decorating your home. And the day of that party, you should have a craft table set up for children who arrive early so that they will be occupied as the other guests arrive. Christmas Eve is Jesus' birthday. It's less than 3 weeks away. So according to Martha Stewart, we should be doing some home decorations this week. And we should also be purchasing those gifts. And those are probably things that you're already doing. Ann and I put up our Christmas tree this week. She tells me that all of the presents have been purchased and are somewhere in the UPS system and being delivered as we speak. For whom are you thinking of buying gifts this year for Jesus' birthday? Well, your children certainly, and your grandchildren for many of you. A gift perhaps for your spouse, your friends, and maybe for some of you, your coworkers. But what about people that you don't know? Have you thought of them? Jesus certainly would have you think about them. Have you considered why it is that we give gifts in the first place? In advertising, we frequently hear the statement, give the gift that gives on all year long. And that makes a lot of sense because we want people to have things that they can use and that means a lot to them throughout the year. So I ask some more questions. What would Jesus want you to do for a community that had no fresh water? How about giving to an agency that digs wells so that those people might have fresh water in those poor countries? That would be a gift that would be renewed every day of the year. What would you give to a family that had no milk? Perhaps you could give a cow. That would provide milk, and if that cow were pregnant, she would have a calf, and now they would have milk every day of the year, as well as more cattle. What would Jesus have you do for a family that had no food? You could give them chickens. Chickens produce eggs every day of the year, and they produce more chickens, and that would be a gift that people could use and recognize every day of the year. Out in the narthex, you will see this pamphlet from Lutheran World Relief. And they talk in there about giving just such gifts. Here's one I bet you haven't thought about. Worms. Yeah, give worms. Let me read what it has to say. Good soil means good crops. Good crops mean good prices. And good prices in countries like the Philippines mean farmers can afford to feed other families. It all starts with these squirmy little worms naturally turning farm waste into fertilizer. And we talked about chickens. And they talk here about giving fruit trees. And they talk about giving piglets. Little pigs grow into big pigs fast. With only a small investment, a woman in Nepal can raise these piglets into hogs and support her family with the income. Give the gift of a piglet today, and a woman in need will earn a good price when her piggy goes to market. And they go on listing other things like goats and sheep and plants and playground toys and so on. Take a look. Make a difference in somebody's life that you don't know. Closer to home, there are lots of agencies here in Albany that will allow you to make a difference in somebody's life right here in Albany. You know who they are. Fish is one. We give to them all the time. We have a shoebox ministry. Perhaps instead of just doing one box, you could do three or four or maybe five. Spending less does not mean that you stop giving gifts altogether. It means that you spend a little bit less on presents that people probably won't remember anyway. And you spend a little bit more on those people who you don't know. So spending less means giving some thought to for whom do you spend, on whom do you spend, how much do you spend, and what do you do with that money that you save. Spending less means spending a little less on family and friends, and spending a little bit more on making a difference in somebody's life. God gave us His blessed Son at Christmas. How will you respond to that gift? Will it be by giving gifts that can be tossed aside in a month or so? Will it be by giving gifts that you can't really afford? Will it be by giving gifts that the receiver won't remember by Easter anyway? Or perhaps it will be giving one of those ugly sweaters that people joke about all the time. Or perhaps it will be something that those people will re-gift as soon as the opportunity presents itself. Or will you give something that follows Jesus' command as he speaks to the Pharisees about the judgment day? In Matthew 25, Jesus says, speaking of the judgment day, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry? Or when did we see you thirsty? Or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you into our home? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And then King Jesus will answer them, Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you have done it unto me. As we prepare for Christmas, may we consider making a difference in the lives of other people in this world. I came across this poem that summarizes a lot of what I have been trying to say. Somehow, not only for Christmas, but all the long year through, the joy you give to others is the joy that comes back to you. And the more you spend blessing the poor and lonely and sad, the more your heart's possessing returns to make you glad. May our hearts be glad this Christmas. Amen.